You're on the Plants Grow Here podcast. I'm Daniel Fuller. Come along with me as we enter a hidden world of deep horticultural, ecological, and landscape gardening knowledge with featured experts, industry professionals, and enthusiasts.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of Plants Grow Here podcast that was recorded live at the Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show. I am your temporary host, Ian Smith, while Daniel was run off his feet with other parts of the show. You will hear about them in the next few upcoming episodes. While he was busy with that, I got a chance to talk to most of the garden designers in the Boutique and Achievable Garden Design competition, as well as one each from the Balcony Gardens and Border Gardens competition. Sorry to those I didn't get to, but there was a lot of people to meet. So enjoy the following episode as we explore the latest in garden trends from the 2024 Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show. First stop, it looks like someone who knows about podcasting. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hello, Daniel Fuller.
Okay, and are you familiar with podcasting?
I've heard of it, yes.
Yeah, okay, great. So what are you doing here today?
Today I am spreading the word about shade gardens, about horticulture careers, and having a lot of questions about plants. So I'm glad I've got the plant list here because we have some unusual plants, some unusual ferns, some unusual bromeliads, stuff that you don't see everywhere. So it's been good.
Yeah, it looks lovely and shady, and I've already been hamstrung into an interview about it, so I'll probably speak to you again as I cruise around today.
Talk soon, mate. Thank you.
Now, just moving into the boutique gardens now, and I'm looking at a garden called Open Air. The thought of champagne comes straight to my mind. Do you want to introduce yourself and this garden design?
Sure, thanks for having me. My name's Emily and I'm the creative director of SJ Landscapes and Pools, and we have designed and constructed this garden, aptly named Open Air. The design brief behind our garden is that it is really important to be out in nature, and we wanted to capture the essence of making a beautiful small space come to life at home by utilising water flow. Hence we've got a water wall and a spa built into our garden, together with the really whimsical, beautiful antique perennials that we have had our horticulturalist select for us.
It definitely looks like somewhere I want to go on holidays. The stark white stonework looks really good. I love how it contrasts with the green. It's like that it goes straight from very architectural to very wild. Is that the intention?
It is very striking, yeah. Isn't it? So there's limestone paving as well as the limestone cladding on the wall, which are the different colours. But it's very light and bright and fresh, teamed with the brass tones just to give it the kind of luxurious finish that we were kind of aiming for. And the cypress in the corner over there, which is a feature falling next to the water, and the spa was carefully selected, slightly bent at the top, but we think it fits really nicely just to finish off that corner of the garden.
Yeah, I think the bend actually makes it.
So. Yeah, it's different, isn't it?
Yeah. And just the bottle of Monet to bring home the style of the garden.
Yes, we found a brass bottle of Moët and Chandon just to finish it off. Yeah. And the glasses have got a bit of water popped in there to prevent the good old Melbourne weather tipping them over. So lots of fun and games, and it's a real pleasure to be here at the International Flower and Garden Show this week.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
The next boutique garden is called Breath of Fresh Air. It's quite a stark distinction between some natural elements and human-made elements. Hi, do you want to introduce yourself and your garden?
G'day, I'm Paul Smith from Paul Alexander Landscape. This is our garden here at the Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show. We worked alongside a construction team, AECM Outdoors, we're really happy with how it's all turned out.
So do you want to describe what the garden looks like? I'm seeing there's a lot of metal, but also a lot of plants. It's almost in a 50-50 mix, I guess.
Yeah, so the metal is aluminium, and we wanted to create a kind of sculptural element that kind of reflected like an architectural element that we often are dealing with when we're building a garden. And we've, you know, often experienced building sites where the building takes up a lot of the site and you're left with only a small amount of space to kind of create a garden. And we kind of wanted to flip that on its head. So we came up with the idea of creating a sculptural architectural element that initially seems dominating, but when you look closer, it's actually not taking up a lot of space at all. And the garden is like really integrated in and out of that architectural component. And just, yeah, maybe making people think about how they can build a house or create a space that, you know, allows nature to creep in and yet also create a really functional and enjoyable place to be.
Yeah, it's, I think you definitely pulled that off, and I just love the way the sort of larger ferns sort of shade out in the middle. So it's not one or the other, it's sort of both combined. So what are some of those plants growing there?
Well, we've got about 20 different plants in there. So there's quite a few natives, which might surprise some people because it looks quite lush. So yeah, there's probably nearly 50% natives, or, you know, there's a few kiwi plants in there. We've got some sedums in the ornamentals. We've got some fan aloes. Up the back, we've got some acacia cognata as a kind of screening plant, nice and soft and flowing. And at the front, we've got some tree ferns and some crepe myrtles in there. And yeah, that's a bit of a list.
Yeah, it certainly shows its diversity. And is that a basalt table at the back, is it?
It is. It's a local bluestone basalt table. We work with Bamstone Bluestone to kind of create that all remotely. So they did, you know, a lot of hard work without me being there to sort of direct them. But it just so happened that the bottom piece is like an offcut and sort of fit the concept that we was sending them. And we just kind of, I wanted it to be quite unconstructed, if that makes sense. So it's sort of, you know, just two pieces sitting on top of each other. Mm-hmm. And kind of sculpturally arranged again. So it sort of could be sculpture, but it also has a functional element.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, it's very striking and looks stunning. Well, thanks for your time.
Thanks very much.
So next up on the Batik Gardens competition, we have a garden called Inner Sanctum. Hi, do you want to introduce yourself and the design and explain your garden?
Yeah, hi, my name's Paul Pritchard from Paul Pritchard Landscape Design. We've done Inner Sanctum. It's a spiel on the Mediterranean style garden. Really wanted to bring in a relaxed feel, you know, a sanctuary where you escape to, and you know, once you're at home after a busy day at work, you can escape to your backyard and have a dip in a pool, lie on the bed, and you know, read a book.
I do want to curl up on that bed right now and have a bit of a holiday. I love the rock work at the back and how that frames with the plants in the front. What's that stonework?
So the rock work, the rock is called Canyon Fell. It's from Eco Outdoor. It's a travertine. Pretty tough to work with, but the results, you know, speak for itself. It comes up beautifully. It's got beautiful different tonings to it, and yeah, it's really worth the effort. Yeah.
And the plants are in sort of they've got recesses in front of the walls, but also you've got a nice planter at the back. What type of plants are you planting? It sort of looks, again, it's a sort of Mediterranean look, I gather.
Absolutely, yeah. We're going for a really lush green look, but to keep that Mediterranean feel happening, everything there is really drought tolerant as well, so that was quite important to me, especially with, you know, water the way it is these days. So we wanted to really give that feel that, you know, you can have that lush green feel about it, but using that drought tolerant stuff as well.
And just at the front, there's a lovely pool-looking area. Do you want to just describe that?
So the pool, we wanted to make really inviting. So the pavers on the top deck area run down into the pool and back up over the sides. We wanted to give it that really fresh, you know, appeal to jump into the pool. So we kept that paving light. and just to make it really look inviting and quite Mediterranean, you know, feel about that watercolour.
And one feature I also notice is a certain award at the front there.
Yes, yeah, we were lucky enough to take out first place, which very happy with, but you know, the four other gardens we were competing against, you know, everyone did such an amazing job. It's a major step up from last year, which we were part of last year as well. But the calibre of competition was just incredible. So, you know, we were very lucky to take that out, I think.
Yeah. Well, congratulations and thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
And next we have a very striking garden called Mother Ocean. Would you like to introduce yourself and your garden design?
Hi, I'm Daniel Althaus from Althaus Landscape Designs. And yeah, as you said, my garden Mother Ocean is in the boutique section. Yeah, basically it's a garden with a 2 metre high wave and the pretty striking red path all the way through up and into it. Yeah, it's got moss all the way through it and ground covers on the outside, so
yeah, it looks ready to chuck a surfboard in there and surf, but the wave isn't water, it's covered in plants. Do you want to describe the plants?
Yeah, so look, on the outside of the wave we've got three different types of ground covers. So we've got the Dichondra tiny, which is a new one from Plant Tiles. We've got the Dichondra repens and the native violet. Mm-hmm. And we've basically just tried to piece them together in a bit of a checker plate form, which, yeah, hopefully looks pretty unique on the outside of a wave. And then on the inside of the wave, we've got moss from Coda Moss. He's pretty much the only guy in Australia who does this kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. He spent two days in there hanging moss upside down. So, yeah, it's been a bit tricky to pull this one off, but yeah, I think it's been fun.
Yeah, and now it's framed at the front with some stonework. It's a nice bright white which contrasts with the dark green wave. Is that what stone is it?
Yeah, look, so it's a limestone, so it's nice and soft. Basically the intent behind the garden was to showcase sort of or show traditional landscaping and having that metaphorical wave to kind of have a change from the traditional landscaping and move into more of a plant-based landscape where we can kind of show off a bit of the plant palette with the big tree ferns, the Dicksonias in the back, and a lot of the like rainforest-esque lush plants. But yeah, everything's native. Yeah, it's just we really tried to have that juxtaposition, I guess, of the two traditional landscaping and I guess what I like to do, and that's plant in unique ways.
Yeah, well, it's certainly not standard. And so it's that main feature you mentioned before, that the red striped path running up into the barrel of the wave, if you want to call it that, and the striking red poles. Why did you settle on the red?
Yeah, look, so I really love Japanese gardens, and I think I like playing with design elements from Japan, I think, and having mixing the two styles of sort of purely native and having the undertones of Japanese styles, and they often use really contrasting red vibrant colors in really green gardens, and I really wanted to use that as something that would draw your eye right into the garden and right into the wave. And I thought it would be really important to have like an offset of the wave by having the three misters, which are kind of red poles. They're misters, yeah. So they're off to the left-hand side. So it kind of breaks up the green still on that left side. But yeah, they're actually functional misters, and we've got misters running all through the wave just to keep everything wet.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it looks stunning, and I love the paper daisies just to give a little bit of colour in the front, is it?
Yeah, I think it needed a bit of a pop of colour. I think, to be honest, we could have really just gone full green, but I think having that pop of yellow, just really subtle pop of yellow, just kind of breaks it up again a little bit. And yeah, I mean, I love paper daisies. I used them in the garden last year, and I think I tried to mix a few. So there's the the Bractiantha, there's the Xerochrysums and the Brachyscomes. So just a bit of a mix, just so that there was it's not just the one flowering, but yeah, just trying to break it up with that yellow pop.
Yeah, no, it's definitely it all came together beautifully.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
No worries, thanks for having me.
And keeping with the wave theme, actually, we've got another garden here, Coastal Waves, and I absolutely feel like I've just come home from the beach. Do you want to introduce yourself and describe your garden?
Sure. Hi, my name's Justin. I am from Smart Landscapes. We have a boutique garden here. It's a 5x5 metre. Coastal Waves is the name of our garden, and what we're trying to do here is represent that peninsula coast style of aesthetic in the garden. We have sort of like sand dunes rolling through the front of the garden with a mostly indigenous plant palette. There is a lot of natives in there as well, but we're just trying to show the beauty of those coastal plants that are used along the coast, the different sort of textures and colours that are used throughout. And some of our hard materials, we have the rough limestone as our paving option and our steps. We're trying to show that almost like the erosion that's happening, you know, along the Great Ocean Road and things like that, and show the colours and textures that are throughout those sort of areas. You see a lot of curved lines throughout the garden. That's once again just trying to represent the coastal winds and the waves and sort of the textures and lines that are seen throughout sort of the bay and along the coast there.
Yeah, and it's sort of all framed by that seat at the back. It's, again, with that wave look. Do you want to talk about where that's from?
Sure. So in keeping with the curves and the lines, we went with a steam-bent Tasmanian oak dowel, which we created in our factory, designed as well. And, we created a soaker because we use kiln-dried Tassie oak, so we needed to get some moisture into that. So that was soaked for 2 days, and then that went into our steam box for about an hour and a half, which then made the battens a bit more malleable, so we could attach them to a CNC-cut rib frame underneath that you can't actually see at the moment, but... there's about 80 battens that roll through that bench seat, but it also is a constant accentuation of a lot of those curves. So everything accentuates each other from the paving to the timber frame, the timber bench seat, back into that sort of rear steel frame that we have there.
Yeah, I was just looking at that steel frame. What texture is that? Is it?
That's an expanded mesh, which we've actually bent and curved around the perimeter. It's attached to a 70 by 50 mil steel frame. The idea from that came from an apartment block that we saw in Richmond that uses a similar material, and it had this beautiful sort of curve through it. So as the sun moves throughout the day, you get different reflections and colours in the sort of bronzy colour of the mesh screen.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, it's definitely looking a bit bronzer as the sun hits it.
Mm.
Yeah, and I really want to jump into that plunge pool pond there. What's going on there?
Yeah, so we wanted to add a water element, being that it is about coastal waves. So we found these preformed concrete troughs from... there's a place in Hastings called Statewide Concrete Products, and they sell a range of preformed concrete troughs, planters, things like that. So we had one that was already preformed with a base in it, and we attached a tile product from the pool tile company. We chose the colour Ubud because of its kind of light greenness, but also some dark green tones throughout, just to sort of complement the planting that we have throughout the garden.
Yeah, I think it's almost the exact same colour as the, is that a cushion plant in front of it?
Yeah, so yeah, cushion bush with nice silvery foliage, a few other silvery foliage plants like our Rigodia. We've got some Atroplex over in the back there. Yeah, and then a lot of nice green sort of tonal changes with the Corias and Elixir buxifolia and Dodonia. Yeah, some great sort of silvery green tonal change throughout the garden.
Well, it's making me want to head down to the beach, so I think you've nailed it. So thank you so much for your time.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
I'm now here at the Achievable Gardens area, one of the crowd's favourites, and I'm with one of the designers. Do you want to introduce yourself and your garden?
I am Taylor. My garden's called An Aussie Escape, and I'm a third-year landscaping apprentice.
Yes, I did notice this very Australiana feel there. What are some of the plants there?
So we've got a couple of varieties of eucalyptus. We've got the eucalyptus red box, we've got the ovata, and then we've also got a nice Banksia tree in the other back corner. Yeah, some grevilleas, melaleuca, lots of Australian natives. So.
Beautiful. And what was your intention with this design?
I sort of wanted to keep it like a practical, simple space that anybody could achieve in their own garden. Like, you don't have to be a landscaper to do this in your own backyard. So that's sort of what I was going with.
Yeah, I have to say, I kind of want to sit there and crash there for tonight after drinks or something.
Definitely. that's sort of what I was going with. In the space you can, like, actually use, not just look at, but it's actually practical.
Because ultimately that's what gardens are for.
Exactly.
They're for people.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, that's what I was sort of going with. Yeah, and sort of like the curves sort of softens it a little bit. Got lots of different colours with the plants. So, and then the timber feature wall at the back. So,
yeah. Yeah, I did notice the timber feature wall does print. And the, what's this, the bark?
It's just like a bark screening. But yeah, that was sort of a last minute thing I put in. But I'm glad I did. It sort of breaks it up a little bit. And yeah, I like it. So.
Excellent. Well, it looks fantastic, and it says you're a bronze medalist.
Yes.
Well, congratulations, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you very much.
Okay, next garden we have a repurpose revolution. So I'm sensing a sustainability type theme. Is that what's going on? Do you want to introduce yourself and your garden?
Yeah, sure. So my name's Sebastian Blackett. I'm an apprentice landscaper at Holmes Glen. And yes, my garden, a repurpose revolution, features items like the bath and the door and the salvaged timber in it. Gives it a sustainability theme, but also including items that may also be thrown out if rather than being used in a functional way.
Yeah, so what are the repurposed items here? I'm seeing a nice water feature, and what's going on in the back there?
So yeah, we got a watering can feeding the bathtub as the water feature. The bathtub itself came from a goat farm. It was used as a watering trough, and the door at the back, that is a 120-year-old door, came from my family farm up in Goulburn. So it's travelled quite a fair distance to get here today, but it came from an old pub.
Now, that's a very Australian feature to a garden, then. And what about the plants? What selection have you chosen here?
So I've gone for a full native softscape, but I've really tried to include the soft elements to reflect the balance in the hard construction of the rocks and the path and the tin and the timber cladding. So the main plants I would find are the Acacia balianas, so the soft, fine leaves, and also the Melaleuca amylaris is the hedge. We've also got the Darwinia postrata and the Tasmania lanceolata as some of the more unusual natives that you wouldn't find around the place, but have a lovely scent to them. Mm-hmm. We've also got a little functional veggie box that you have some blue tongue, salt bush and murong in it. So having some edible natives as well.
Yeah, well, Melbourne was a big harvesting place for the Murnong, so it's good to see it back.
That's right, yeah.
And that back wall, is that recycled timber as well?
Yes, it is. I found most of it on the side of the road, to be honest. It's hardwood palings, and I've just used them horizontally.
Yeah, it just blends in beautifully with the native timber. It makes me want to head back to the farm, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. It's just so great.
Well, thank you for your time, and congratulations on the bronze medal, I see.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Cheers.
And now we have the gun called Eclipse. Do you want to introduce yourself and describe the gun?
Hi, yeah, I'm Ellie, and my garden Eclipse is kind of, I wanted to create a dichotomy of dark and light, and so I've got all silver on one half, all purple on the other half, and I've used sort of circle motifs to kind of draw it through and give the eye a place to rest.
Yeah, so it's very stark contrast there, sort of a yin yang feel. Do you want to describe the plants on the purple side that you've used?
Yeah, so I've got about 10 plants on the purple side. I have Leptospermum Starry Night. I've got the most stunning Agonis After Dark. It was really hard to find. Smoke Bush, some Ficus, lots of Loropetalum, Sedum Desert Black, and some Black Ophiopogum and Phormiums.
And the silver side, seeing a mixture of succulents and not succulents?
The only succulent I actually really have is the agave, and then the angel wings is a semi-succulent. It's actually same genus as the blue chopsticks.
My bad.
It looks like, well, no, it probably is a succulent. It's a new plant for me, so I don't want to presume on it. So that's obviously got a broad leaf form, so it's a big transition from sticks. Thank you. And of course I've got the big agave americana, which was an absolute mission to acquire and to get in here. We had 12 apprentices carrying it. I don't know that they were super happy, but they did a great job. And then I've got some silver eucalypts, I've got purpurulenta and cinerea, a little bit of Wistringia, which I haven't clipped, and I'm really happy with the sort of delicateness of it. I didn't expect that. Teucrium balls, Euphorbia silver swan, some Dichondra, and Leucophyta brownii in the silver nugget, the dwarf form, and then I have some species form as well.
And the timber on the back, is that, do you want to just explain that?
Yeah, so that's actually a Jabon hardwood screen from Screening Solutions. They donated them to me. And then I've done a stain in sort of a walnut colour on the dark side, and then I've left it blonde on the light, and then switched them around for the circle just to kind of further that contrast and, you know, just really drive it home that this is a garden in two halves.
And last feature I noticed is a glint of gold.
Yeah, I did. I got a gold. It came as a bit of a surprise. This is sort of my first go and I wasn't feeling super confident. But yeah, I got a gold and I got best use of plant life, which was very exciting.
Well, it looks fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Have a great day. Enjoy the show.
Next, we have the ever-growing garden, and it looks a sort of a rustic feel with a hint of gold. Am I seeing out the back there?
Yeah. There is a little hint of a gold. I was very, very lucky, and I got the Creative Space Challenger Achievable Gardens Award as well.
Do you want to just introduce yourself and your garden?
Yeah, my name is Lee Hudson, and I built the ever-growing garden. I'm from Melbourne Polytechnic, currently studying the Certificate 4 in Landscape Design.
So I'm noticing there's a bit of a mixture of native plants. Seems to be the rage this year. What diversity of plants am I seeing?
Yeah, so there's a wide variety of plants in here. I've got the exotic and I've also got the native. And I tried to blend them in so they feel natural, it feels normal. You know, I think it's really, really good to implement exotics into the garden but also have the Aussie natives.
Yeah, I think you've done that really well. It really, you wouldn't actually notice that there's a mix if you weren't really looking.
Yeah.
The water feature is really pulls it together in that centre. Do you want to discuss that central feature?
Yeah, that central water feature is a basalt boulder that's wrapped in Corten steel, and I've drilled a hole through the centre and water is you know, bubbling out of the top of it. I think it's really good to have water features into your garden. The sound that it makes, the ambience that it creates is just stunning. So,
yeah, no, it looks fantastic. And a lot of, are they railway sleepers, are they? Or
yeah, they are. They're recycled railway sleepers. And the bench on the right-hand side is also part of it. They're offcuts. The legs of them are offcuts. And there's cord and steel underneath the railway sleepers as well to try to create that shadow line underneath.
Yeah, no, it looks fantastic. And, yeah, it looks like it could have been here for decades. So, well done.
That's exactly what I was trying to achieve. Thank you.
Thank you. And next up, we have a garden called Look Within, and we have two designers here, I gather. Do you want to introduce yourself and your garden?
Yes. My name is Maddie Holliman, and we have Andy Sargood, and we've designed this garden together. Look Within, we've named it. It's a native and Indigenous-style garden. We both live on the Mornington Peninsula, so we've showcased a lot of Mornington Peninsula local plants here. We've called the garden Look Within, as we want to encourage people to source plants and landscape materials from their local areas, and definitely within our borders, and also because we believe our gardens are a reflection of ourselves. We've focused on the tones and the texture of foliage. Not many flowers in the garden. But we believe that we have been able to achieve a lot of contrast and drama just from the foliage types alone.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of colours with just the leaves. And do you want to talk about the species mix that you've selected for this garden?
Yeah, of course. So we've got... do you want to just run through the whole thing?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, cool. So we've got Leucophyta brownii, which is the cushion bush. So it's found down on the coast, the Mornington Peninsula. Same with the Stapis lepoides. It's just a coastal speargrass. The Pomodaris, again, is found down that way. We've got Coria alba, which has got that lovely two-tone leaf colour. Mm-hmm. So when the wind blows, you see the underneath, and it really has a good colour. Dichondra, just the Dichondra repens, the ground cover. The Casuarina glauca, yeah, the cousin it. So it's an awesome ground cover again. A few of the cyanthas, yeah. And then the big grass trees from Margaret River grass trees. So they're the ones from Western Australia. But we just needed something with that structure that was a native. So, yeah, it sort of worked out really well.
And I'm seeing there's a gold medal at the back there. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's a gold medal and then the Excellence Award as well. So that's awarded to the best garden in the Achievables. So we were lucky enough to win that as well.
Well, congratulations to you both. It looks wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah. Cheers.
And last but not least, for the ones I've visited, I have Urban Harvest here. Now, a term I don't normally use to describe a garden, but I'm going to use here is delicious. So, do you want to introduce yourself and describe your garden?
Yeah, sure. My name is Justin Rhodes. My garden is the Urban Harvest. It's based on the concept of an article I read from the United Nations, which is about that in the developed world, 80% of our population is urbanised now, and the spaces are becoming smaller, including external spaces. So I thought, well, my concept was to grow about 20% of my produce in a small courtyard. Now, I think I'm actually at about 15%, but this is everything here is edible and can easily be grown. So there's nothing that's too difficult at all to grow. The eggplants probably are the hardest thing, the fairy tale over there, but otherwise the sweet potato, the basil, all very easy, and the chilies are very simple to grow.
Yeah, I'm noticing the a diversity of colour in the leaves. Like, you wouldn't think from it, you just, when you think produce, you kind of think nothing but green, but there's a lot of colour in this garden.
There is a lot of colour, yeah, and even the variations in green itself. When you look at these spring onions, which is evergreen trident, and it's evergreen trident because it actually looks like a trident, like a fork. And obviously it's completely different colour to the rosemary, with it. That's got more blue in it, that's got more green, and then the silver beet down there has nearly got a lime colour to the back of it. And then you get the silver of the back leaves of the olives. And so even though it's green, there's such variations, about 20 variations of green in there.
Mm. Yeah, and on the wall here, we got mint growing. Is that a hydroponic system or?
Yes, it is. Well, it's a fake hydroponic system because it's a stage set. So I've got basil there, mint, lemon balm, more mint, and then Vietnamese mint down the very bottom there.
Oh yeah. Fantastic. So you've gone for grow beds are sort of a metal tinge with wood?
So it's all caught in steel. It's supplied by Shapescaper. So Toby, I discussed the design and he made all these individually for me. And basically they'll be transported back to my own house where I can take most of this back with me, hopefully, if it survives.
Well, it's perks of the job. You've got to get them where you can.
That's right, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And the artwork's at the back?
It's all prefabricated steel. It's from Stratco. But we've actually lit, you can see the lights in there. You can obviously get better at night. Backlit all of that. And so it's all combined in there. And if you have a look over here,
and he's got a big metal planter.
The bird bath is steel as well. So it's this really very hard edge, nearly brutalist kind of concept to the urban garden, but it's very much softened by the green and the plants.
Yeah, and the way it sort of hangs over, it really feathers it out.
Yeah. Well, all the oregano, there's 80 oregano plants in there, and it's just basically that. Even since I planted them during the week, they've grown further and cascaded more down the wall.
Mm. And so at the end of the show, are you looking forward to a big salad?
A very big salad.
Well, thank you for your time, and I see congratulations on the bronze medal.
Thanks so much. Yes, thank you.
And this next garden is called Permeable Paradise. I'm seeing a lot of scoria cone, and I'm sensing a central water theme. Am I right? Do you want to introduce yourself in your garden?
My name's James Greentree, and yeah, you're right. This garden is sort of trying to incorporate a hydroponic system into an ornamental garden. So the scoria acts as this free draining mix in the raised garden beds. And the garden beds are draining back into a pond system. So the pond and the water is really central to the idea and the concept of the garden. So trying to tackle water scarcity in the future and trying to capture it, harvest it and reuse it in a closed loop system.
And I noticed the seating area incorporates that as well. Do you want to? I'm noticing some interesting stepping stones. I haven't seen that before. Do you want to describe it?
So the stepping stones, I sort of came up with this idea that they could be drainage pits. So what would commonly be used, you know, to get the water to run off and away into the rainwater system and down into the creeks. I thought it would be kind of ironic to use a drainage pit with the pit lids on top as the stepping stones to step through the garden. So
it kind of makes sense. It's going to be grippy regardless of the weather.
Yeah.
The species mix, I'm sensing a very drought resistance mix. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, so I went for a sort of xeriscape style planting in the raised beds at least. So you've got a mixture of native and exotic plants, quite a lot of succulents and grasses, which can deal with that free-draining soil, obviously moving into a hotter climate. And then that's contrasted with the aquatic plantings in the pond system. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and the feature tree, is that an olive, is it?
It is, yeah. So it's a mature olive tree that has come from a company who dig out old olive groves that are going to be ripped up.
Ah.
And then they prune them back and, they're repurposed for landscaping.
There you are. It looks great. And the back wall there, I assume that's incorporated into it?
Yeah, so the walls are acting as like a guttering system that's harvesting the rainwater that would usually run off the wall and down into the rainwater systems. Trying to harvest the rainwater and that feeds into the pond system. So that's, bringing water into the garden and making sure it doesn't leave.
Well, it sounds like a very future-proof if we're in for a hotter climate. Is that considered?
That is the main consideration, really. That was sort of inspiration for the garden initially, for the design at least. And, it's all gone from there.
Yeah. Well, I think you nailed it. It looks fantastic. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
Next off the bat, we have a garden called Light and the Dissolve. Would you like to introduce yourself and your garden?
Hi there. My name is Zoe Hibberson, and I'm currently a student at Holmes Glen doing my landscape design diploma.
Now, I'm looking at this gun. I'm seeing sort of a coastal feel, a lot of Australian plants. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. I have recreated a bayside coastal garden using plants that are endemic to Melbourne coastal bayside. I live and I work bayside, so this is a reflection of the plants that I see in my own garden and on the beach fronts.
Yeah, and well, what about the non-plant areas? I'm seeing a lot of timber there, and it blends in beautifully.
Yep, the non-plant areas are timbers and materials that I have sourced secondhand. I'm a great scavenger. I love to find junk from other people. So I've repurposed some old gate posts and a very old wrought iron gate, and the fencing is tea tree poles, which I've put in, which are sort of reminiscent. A lot of people have commented that they remember this from their childhood down the beaches. So it's a very typically beach scene. On the walls, I have some insect hotels, which I have made. It's more of an art installation than a real insect hotel, but it gives you the idea of an insect hotel. And I've made that using repurposed items, things that I found on walks, seed pods, bits of branch, you know, bits of cardboard, bits and pieces, really.
Well, I'm all about insect diversity, so I'm happy to see it. thank you for your time, and enjoy the rest of the show. And might I say, it's a silver medal. Congratulations.
Thanks so much. Thanks.
Okay, I've just now entered into the border garden competition. We have one from an interesting garden name, the Dementia Society Garden. Would you like to introduce yourself and explain the garden?
Hi, my name's Alyssa Astorino. I'm a garden designer from Canada. I chose to create a garden based on dementia, which tells the story of the unconditional love between a mother with dementia and her daughter. So I created a garden that shows that even when the sun has set, there are still stars to brighten the night.
Yeah, now it's sort of all tied together with a purple ribbon there. Is that significant?
Yes, so purple is the colour for dementia, so I wanted to put a purple ribbon through the garden to represent that.
Yeah, and it nicely striking with the not just a diversity of flowers, but also striking leaf colour differences. Is that what sort of plants have you got here?
So I have Alternanthera and some Nandina, which is a contrasting purple and lime green colour, which stands out, and then some yellow flowers and some heuchera as well.
And what are the taller trees there?
They are catalpa trees.
Yeah. It looks fantastic. Are you down in Australia at the moment?
I'm in Australia, but I leave on Sunday. I will be returning in a few months to be working with a company in Brisbane called Yards to learn more about maintenance and installation and design as well.
Well, thank you so much for your time. It looks great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
And now into the balcony garden competition. There's a garden here named Alyssum Bogstyle. Is that how it's pronounced?
Yeah, Alyssum Bogstyle.
Do you want to just introduce yourself and explain the design here?
Oh, hi, I'm Parveen. So the design is based on like something simple that you could like put together. So it's things that you would like to have around you. So I love plants and I like sculptures, I like art. So things that you could do in your own time and slowly sort of curate as you sort of grow into the space. I used to be a student like many years ago, and I lived in an apartment where I couldn't do anything. So this is what I could create if I could do something, if my landlord would let me to. So the idea is like I love the beach and I like plants. So I chose plants that are low maintenance and they have shallow roots, so they can actually sort of be ground covers and they can have different textures and lots of greens. So the vibe is when I come home from uni or from work, like I can chill, I can look out to it. And then I can also immerse myself in the space because I can relax, I can do work, I can entertain. So the table's multifunctional. So if you sort of take that little leg off and then it sort of drops down, you can have more people in the space. And then when you want to use it as a table with a leg on, then you can either use it as a workspace for your laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can actually have things like, you know, I have wine bottles there just to, you know, make people sort of imagine themselves having a bit of cheese and wine and some bikkies. So
that's
just me. So
I love the idea of a little beach on this sand on the ground there, just to give you that sand and a balcony. I think that's the first time I've seen that, but it really works well with what are the plants surrounding that?
So the plants surrounding them, so I've used a few grasses, so mm-hmm. that's a dwarf, and all of them are dwarf species except for obviously the monstera mm-hmm. and the tractor plant.
Yep.
So I've used a dwarf Diades, which has a beautiful variegated grey and white leaf to give a bit of textural contrast. That's a dwarf lirio, so it's got like a pink flowers to it.
Mm-hmm.
I've used the cushion bush as a ground cover, but there's another ground cover I've sort of stuck in there as a textural contrast. So I like playing with plants because they're like amazing. They're really artistic and you can almost weave them into your canvas. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've tried to do here. So
I think you've definitely pulled it off. I like the sculptures contrasting with the real plant there. Is the monstera, is it?
So it's based on a monstera leaf, so it's one of my favorite leaves. So I couldn't actually get a monstera large enough. So the idea was to actually have like a living plant wall with some artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And I love incense and I like candles. So the idea was to create a wall that would give that sort of effect. So obviously the monstera I got is like teeny. So then I use a devil's ivy to sort of cascade down. So if you go to the back of that wall, you can actually see little planters hidden at the back to actually cascade down with a bit of fairy lights.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah, it does look very homely, and I can see a student setting it up while they're finishing uni, as you said.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it looks like you've won an award as well, have you?
I got second, so which is amazing. So I had a lot of fun putting it together. There was a lot of hard work, and I tried a lot of different techniques. So I learned how to cork. I learned how to treat different woods with different treatments, like, you know, and I also learned how to chalk for the first time, so I used chalk paint.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was interesting. So yeah, so that's a lot of a lot of stuff I learned throughout the whole process of designing and putting it together. So it's rewarding in itself. So yeah, it was good.
Yeah, no, it looks fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for your time.
That's all right, my pleasure. Thanks for the interview.
Well, not sure which way to go, so let's go straight out the middle and see what we can find. Past the school group. Good to see the kids getting involved. Just passing a life-size dinosaur, representing the Woolamai Pines producers, I gather. Reference to it being a living fossil, and that they found it as a fossil before it was actually discovered as a living plant. First garden on the right is Scott's Welcome Garden, designed by Jason Hodges, constructed by Semkin Landscaping. It's nice layering of stone with gardens, flowers, and overstory. Do like to see pavers with grass growing between them. Breaks up the heat pattern in the garden. Next garden is New Nordic Notes by Zetterman and Bjorn, constructed by Land Art Landscapes. It's very Scandinavian, as the name may have given away. It's beautiful, that raw timber look, in between birches and a lot of wooden structures. It gives it a nice natural look. And next is Reflection by Christian Jenkins and Margaret River Trees, constructed by Christian Jenkins Landscape Design. And I've heard multiple people talking about this because of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10-headed grass tree. I think a lot of people in awe of it. But beautiful garden, central water feature, plenty of dining space surrounded by some nice lush growth underneath.
And the last of the show gardens in the middle row is A Moment in Time, presented by Daisy's Garden Supplies, designed by Peter Donegan, constructed by Simkin Landscaping, and it is rather unmissable on account of the large aeroplane in it. The reason for that being that I know Peter loves including stories in his garden, and it tells a wonderful story of basically how you can never return home from war. I'll leave the audience to look up the full story so I don't hash it. Otherwise, it's a beautiful rolling hills greenery, longer grass, and dense sort of bushland next to a small garden cottage. And that is all from me for the 2004 Melbourne International Flower and Garden Show. But don't worry, Daniel still has more episodes from the show as he jumps back in the host seat with what he was up to. Thank you to everyone who let me interview them, which was everyone I asked. You can hear from their responses how much thought and planning had gone into their designs, and it certainly showed in how the gardens turned out. And if you're feeling inspired by these interviews, perhaps it's time for a job change. You can upload your resume for free to the Hort People Job Board, the job board for the horticultural industry. Visit at hortpeople.com.